Welcome to Career Tools. Over the last 2 weeks, Mark and Dan have laid out a case study for us all to think about. These casts were originally published in the Manager Tools feed, but we thought they were so important, we would include them in the Career Tools feed too. So this week and next week, we'll be playing the next two casts in that series, which are the responses that we got from our audience and Mark and Dan's evaluation of those. And actually, what happened? Because the case study is real. So like the last 2 weeks, you'll hear my intro, this part, then you'll hear Mark's intro, and then Mark and Dan will get started.
Welcome to Manager Tools, the inaugural MT case study, and what happened? Here we go. Folks, this just in. This cast has become so long, we're going to have to split the input from our listeners into two parts. The first cast will be over an hour long, and the second cast, where we talk about the remaining inputs and hopefully get to Dan's, will be over an hour long as well. So this is part one of at least two parts. This is a fairly emergent cast, and we beg your forgiveness on this, but we were certainly not going to short the people who took the time to put in their comments to hear from us about what we thought as part of their learning and development. In the last couple of casts, we have talked about case studies. We've given you a good overview of how they fit in organizations and business schools and so on. And we've also introduced the first inaugural case study, which is Webcom, very interesting experience. And we were joined on the podcast by Dan McGuire, who is with us today. Say hi, Dan.
Hello.
Dan, as you know, is a longtime client and friend of the firm, senior executive in the financial technology industry, and has been instrumental in creating the idea for this cast and for doing the hard work of reviewing with me every single one of the inputs we got. So there are two parts to this cast. The first part, which is going to be very long, we are going to respond to every single input we got from the Manager Tools community of listeners. Hundreds of thousands of people have listened to this podcast already. And we have 30 responses to go through. And then in part two, we will tell you what actually happened. What's fascinating about this, guys, is if you didn't realize it, this is an actual event. We did not make up this cast, and the horseback riding was real. If you don't know what that is, you need to go back and review the first podcast where we lay out the case study. And further, folks, to how real the case study was. And I cannot tell you how hard it was for this not to leak out. The Manager Tools staff only found out about this yesterday. Dan McGuire, our guest, was Dean Morgan. He went through this experience truly firsthand. And if you remember my reference in the first cast in this series, just like that Stanford Southwest Airlines case study where the author, Peter Robinson, was astounded to have his business school professor introduce one of the founders of Southwest Airlines, Raleigh King, and then the founder essentially critiqued his answer to the great chagrin and worse of the author. We're going to get a chance to hear from Dan at the end of this cast. You're going to learn what he did and why he did it, and also what actually happened to Webcom. So when we respond to your comments, you're going to have somebody who was there actually giving you a sense of what they did. It's not to say that every scenario like this responds to only one set of activities, but if I were me and I were wondering, I would want to know, hey, what actually happened? What you sometimes don't get in case studies as much as you might like. And a tip of the hat to Shannon Corhin, who is the only person who mentioned, maybe others of you figured it out, that Dan was in fact Dean, and thus the ineffable feeling of tension around this podcast. So I want to list the 30 people who responded to the podcast. We might have expected more, except that this is a podcast that, and this is a challenge that took some people an hour or two. One person even mentioned they had listened to the cast 5 times before they responded. So we understand that it was not just a paragraph you have to send. So we appreciate the time you all spent on this. And we're going to list them in order of licensees first. And they are Chris Myers, Andrew James, Daryl Furman, Nick Goodman, Stuart Logan, Keona Bell, Peter Samuel, Martin Fisher, Peter Van Imschoot, Eden Brandeis, Peggy Miller, Jeff Bragg, Shannon Corin, Chris Ferreo, Andy Graves, Al Loper, Oliver Robinson, William Ellidge, Dan West, Ben Ploger, Mark Homerding, Nathan Nipper, Rich Rue, Stephen Huber, Thomas Landy, Paul Walker, Paolo Augusto Del Fabro, Rob Hulbert, Simon Collier, and Sam Hammond. Thank you all for your input. And one more note, we have edited your emails to us for brevity. Many of you put a nice introduction which said, thank you for this opportunity, I really appreciate it. Many of you also shared how valuable Manator Tools has been to you. It was very touching. But we are at an enormously long cast, and we thought that you wouldn't mind us editing that because we thought to some degree that was meant for us and maybe not for the audience. There were some times where somebody said something that we felt it had to be included, but generally we edited introductory comments and perhaps closing comments for brevity. Okay, so here we go. Chris Myers gets pride of place because he was the first one to respond. And here's what Chris said. And guys, the way we're going to do this, as you have key ideas or a group of key ideas, I'll read the response, again, edit it a little bit for brevity, and then Dan will chime in with comments. So, number one, Chris said, review accounts in arrears. Dan?
Yeah. First off, I apologize, everybody. I'm battling a cold here, so I'm going to do my best. So, reviewing accounts in arrears is not something that I would have had in the beginning of my list. I think the accounts in arrears are customers that haven't paid. It's in the podcast. And I would definitely want to hear from those customers, that we call the customers, talk to the customers, hear what their concerns are. They definitely had concerns. But as far as going into the arrears part of it, I considered that to be secondary.
Right.
To understanding them.
Good. And then review customer support metrics and open cases.
Yeah. I first went to the people who were dealing with customer support to understand how they work with the customers. And again, I got the customer input. Before I started to go through the metrics that they had, I naturally got into the open cases, though, because it was part of what the customers spoke about.
Okay, good. Meet with HR to discuss remaining key personnel and identify high potentials for promotion.
Yeah, I wanted to understand who the people were first.
Right.
Before I went to HR. I did get, you know, some initial lists from HR and things like that, demographics, et cetera. But they, HR was a corporate and this was a subsidiary and there was a distance there. So I spend more time with the people.
I think we had some issues. We couldn't describe everything to you without that cast being 2 hours long. Typically, a case study might be 10 or 15 pages of single space text with all kinds of ancillary information to give you a sense of context and flavor. Several people wrote in and suggested involving HR, but HR, as you'll hear us say several times in this cast, is probably not going to be really useful, not because they aren't good, but because they're in New York and Webcom has been operating exceptionally independently at a satellite site with their own culture. And perhaps you could make the case that HR hasn't done a good job overseeing. That could be a reasonable assumption. Okay, next, meet with Tara one-on-one to determine if I can work with her or not. And I would like to say, Dan, I would probably not, because I'm not saying I don't want a one-on-one with Tara, guys. I do. But to me, to determine if I can work with her suggests that's a do or die conversation. And my experience has been early do or die conversations are too much about brinksmanship, and with raw emotions as we are at this phase, probably going to end in a loss. And as Dan will say several times later in our guidance here, Tara just had her life turned upside down. In the short term, I don't think you need to get rid of anybody whom you can use for a few weeks. And in fact, some people may choose to resign, of course. Look, if after a few weeks you determine you can't work with her, then start creating a plan that eases her out or makes it easier for her to go or change the org chart a little bit. But she has knowledge. And the big thing for me regarding Tara is, since her comments involved HR-related complaints, it would be very delicate to fire her because of what she said. Dan, I think you added something to the effect of watching Tara is important.
We're going to repeat ourselves here a lot today, during this cast, right? I look at Tara at last week as an anomaly, okay? So I look at it, it's going to be business as usual with Tara. Let's set up a one-on-one.
And let's see what she does.
Exactly.
So you're not, so interesting. I think it's important to caveat that a little bit or to share a little different perspective, which is you're not saying you know that last week is an anomaly. You're basically making a decision. Hey, we're going to give her a pass on last week. Tensions were high. Things changed. There wasn't a lot of oversight. I don't know her terribly well. We're going to give her an anomaly card for 1 week and say, hey, it happens, right? Folks, we're not saying that Dean/Dan knew Tara well beforehand and knows this is an anomaly. He's just saying, you know what? I'm going to give her a pass. We'll see what happens. Maybe it continues. Maybe it doesn't. Good. So thanks, Chris. Very helpful. Andrew, James. As the new CEO of Webcom, he suggests communication. I would communicate with my boss who made me CEO and set up a reporting check-in cycle. I'm going to get to mend fences, build bridges between this company, which is not assimilated in corporate. If I have some relationships there, asks I make to them will be easier. I want to stay abreast of what my parent company is really thinking, and I can use that to assure the team. Dan?
Yeah, look, I think this is a great call. Talking to Rich, getting some air cover support, understanding of the parameters he's looking for, what will allow you to have. And then how often do you want me to communicate with you, Rich? What do you want me to do? The one thing I'd be careful here is I would not consider myself a conduit between the parent company and the subsidiary. I think, and I know, Rich expects that Dean is me, who's running the place, and is going to recover the things that need to be recovered, transform the thing that needs to be transformed, and bring it back to profitability.
Yeah, I can't agree with Dan any more strongly. You're the CEO. There's no conduit role here. Yes, you're a communicator between the two, but no way your boss sees you as a conduit. Your boss is on a mission to save the organization. There will be communication, but conduit happens as a result of normal business communications and nothing more. Okay, good. Number two, sales pipeline. I'm going to first take care of the future. Make sure we're filling the pipeline. And before Dan goes on, if it's a weak pipeline, this is a measurable, actionable thing we can do. In fact, in this case, Andrew says, this is a great strength for me personally. So I'll be able to learn more about the organization by understanding the sales pipeline.
Yeah. There was enough going on with the current release that I deferred the pipeline work. I definitely wanted to get to the sales pipeline. It was not good news that the pipeline wasn't robust, but there was enough going on tactically that I deferred this.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as far as the accounts receivable stuff, that, you know, we had what, $4 million of backlog that my customers hadn't paid for yet. They were sitting in receivables. You know, anything that's in a receivable until you close it, it's still work in progress.
Right.
All right. And WIP is your enemy when you're developing products, right?
Yeah. I would think, as you'll hear us say several times throughout the cast, folks, that we're getting into the issue of, is this a payment problem Or is this a poor quality product delivery problem and customers have genuine concerns and might be saying something to the effect of, I know you've invoiced me, but I'll pay you when you give me a high quality product that does what you promised me it would do, which is one of the big differences between software and hardware more broadly outside of technology. Okay. Work with CFO to determine the right way to look at attacking the accounts receivable problem. And he suggests a five whys kind of drill down that would lead to see other issues more clearly. My hypothesis is their underlying causes. We haven't figured out a goal. Yeah, my CEO wants me to solve this, but I need to figure out how.
The message here that I read in here, Mark, is looking for more information, right? Spend some time understanding what's there. Definitely talk to the CFO about the recoveries, you know, being able to get the back payments. In fact, you may even want to enlist some help. Webcom was kind of doing this themselves. In fact, developers are involved. If you get billing experts, people like that, they're more apt to be able to do that. But first off, understand why. Why are these things backlogged? I think that was what I've considered to be important.
Yeah, and we're not saying enough the word customers. They're people, right?
Exactly.
Communication. Determine a time, method, and strategy for an all hands with the team. I'll need to shock them, allow them to know we can turn this around, follow that with inspiration. So there are some people who are loyal. I don't know the reasons. I want to put out some sort of communication about the reality after returning from a conversation with corporate. Allow people time to surface next moves. There are passions about the product, which is good. You know, I want to understand what could happen. There may need to be a cut on products or features or more investment in the winning parts. If we're constantly missing and yelling at customers, we may need to more precisely direct our focus.
So let me go to the top here. Mark, I agree a town hall meeting is pretty important.
Right.
But Andrew, I wouldn't shock the team publicly after a few days.
Why do it again? They're already complete shock now.
Yeah, that was kind of last week, right? But I understand where you're taking it, right? It's raised a sense of urgency. One of the things I like to do before this town hall is lay a groundwork by understanding the informal networks and the key individuals so that in that town hall, I have eyes to look at that I've already had conversations with. And that's just, you know, that's the way I like to do these things. I don't like to surprise everyone in a large crowd if I can avoid it.
Yeah. In fact, one of the themes of our responses, guys, is the choices you make regarding communication. There was a general theme toward town halls and group communication. Dan and I see it differently. We see that as being upside down. Not against town halls. If I were going to have one this week, it would absolutely be Friday, probably at 2 or 3 o'clock or something like that. And I would have it fairly well scripted, but I would not think of my week as driving to that. I would think of the week as being my shirt sleeves rolled up in the trenches, talking about products, talking to customers, talking about technology, talking about issues in one-on-one groups, in small meeting groups, and so on. So that, as Dan says, when he's presenting, he can look out in the audience, and when someone is saying, well, what about X, the person who he developed a good rapport with and whom he has a pretty strong level of initial trust is shaking his head in the audience, saying, yeah, no, this person, nobody trusts that person. Don't respond to that, so on. And if you do a town hall in the first couple of days, you're going to be seen as the forceful take charge leader. And there will be people at the margins who will choose to say, fine, you want to act as if you're all boss man, fine, we'll just sit back and let you make all the decisions. As opposed to them seeing you, getting into the weeds, understanding the details, asking a million questions, making suggestions, hearing from other people in one-on-ones, in small teams, in project teams, in tiger teams that get formed for a half-hour meeting to discuss the implication of X on Y and on Z, so that you begin to develop your own sense of what the real issues are, where the strong people are, where the problematic people are, where the holes are you don't know about yet, because there's just too many things you don't know.
I would add one thing, Mark.
Good.
Okay. First of all, I agree with everything you just said about the town hall coming a little later in the week. But one thing that I have done in addition is I think that everybody in that office was looking forward to a town hall. You know, I want to hear more. I want to know. So what I would do is, what I did was I booked it on Monday.
Okay, good.
For Friday.
Friday. There you go.
Right, so everybody knew it's coming, right? And it kind of took a little pressure off and allowed me to kind of work with the team during the week. If that makes sense.
I like that. And since you're the guy who did it, who am I to say? Okay. Thank you, Andrew. Next is Daryl Furman. Number one, actually, he has four things, and he has zero. Schedule one-on-ones, 1 hour long to start with each direct.
Yeah, this is zero. Don't hesitate at all. Just do it. It's like air or wearing clothes to work. Just go.
Yeah, although you'll caveat that by the next point. Number one, Daryl says, start weekly staff meetings with leadership. Everyone is there, no exceptions. Bring an outside coach if needed to facilitate it first. I'll handle the outside coach part.
Thank you. Initially, with the resignations I had, I needed to spend more time understanding who the new leadership is. Even if I'm just going to invite Samir's and Pam's directs, I want to know who the informal leaders on that team are before I pull them into a notional, quote unquote, leadership team
meeting. Let me interject here. I don't think we know who the leadership team is. And this is a theme throughout this cast, guys. We don't know. If your thoughts are, we need to name a team, no. You could have a series of one-on-ones with 15 people in the first week that you will then also be seeing each one of them in other small meetings and so on. And at the end of the week, you might have 3, 4, 5, 10 hours with many of the people who would probably definitely report to you and some other people who might be a pool to choose from. But in my mind, when I hear weekly staff meetings with leadership, there is no leadership. I think we only have two directs left. And scheduling one-on-ones, when Dan says yes, what he means is with the two people you know, but there probably should be more one-on-ones scheduled as well, even if they go away in 3 weeks when the final leadership team is determined or even earlier than that. I would also say the staff meeting, bring an outside coach if needed to facilitate, I really wouldn't do that. I think if you're an executive, as I've said before, no offense, guys, even a monkey could run a meeting. When you're running a meeting for yourself, there are three things you're doing. You are running it. You're facilitating it. You're also providing content, input, ideas, exchanges. You're listening and exchanging ideas. And the third thing is you're watching how your team interacts. The running of a meeting at this point in one's career would be you have gotten so good at it. That will be a trivial thing. It would be like breathing. And you ought to be able to do it without working very hard. And I think introducing a facilitator sends a message that this is going to be a land of consultants and you're not a complete executive. Don't take me wrong. I don't mean to insult anybody, but I think that could be the takeaway. He goes on in this case and says, at that first meeting, have each member with having had time to prepare, give an overview of their function, specifically key metrics, what is working, what is not working, goals they've set, how it's going, intro to one or two high performers within the group. Now, I'll start here, Dan. I don't think we can have this meeting, again, until we draw that first level of the org chart. I really don't think early on a staff meeting where all of our directs are presented to one another at the same time, whomever those directs might be, I don't think that's helpful. I think, again, this is a case for one-on-one meetings. And by one-on-one, I mean both manager tools one-on-ones and one-to-one meetings, individual face-to-face meetings with specific topics. I think what you've got there is too deep an agenda where everybody is going to be spending time preparing for this meeting, attempting to make an impression with the new boss rather than working issues with customers, with technology, with people, with sales, and so on.
Right. Look, if some of these topics are things that I wanted to get into, things like having people go up and hot wash the customer process or something like that,
yeah.
Right? I did that individually and in small groups. Like you said, Mark, we just weren't ready for this in a large group.
Yeah. So you're going to hear this a lot, guys. Good ideas, just a little too soon for that. You know, in my head, when Dan presented this idea, I immediately thought triage. And triage is it's a bloody movie reference, but if you saw the movie Pearl Harbor, you saw normally doctors would do triage, but with the number of cases, the nurses went outside. And the nurses decided, based on how severe the wounds were, who lived and who died. And triage was invented in wartime. And this is war. And we'll use that analogy again here soon. And by the way, as an aside, guys, Dan and I have loved collaborating on this. And this cast has more input from anybody else other than me than we've ever had in 13 years, thanks to how high in high esteem I hold Dan and how hard he worked on this. So thank you, Dan. Then he goes on, over the coming days and weeks, find the places where goals are not in line based on the staff meeting and get them to work together.
Yeah. What I did was I got to Rich first and said, let's talk about objectives. Because I really wanted to share with the CEO and hear what he was thinking and CFO as well. Hear what they were thinking as far as what the larger corporate objectives were. Clearly, I knew that some of the objectives, like get the pipeline in shape.
Yeah, sure.
Clean up the customer issues, get the software bugs out, you know, those sorts of things. But I didn't spend time drawing up goals. Gosh, had to be 6 weeks in.
Yeah, I would argue that aligning internal goals is almost, this is going to sound way, way too harsh for Daryl. Don't take this the wrong way, Daryl. I think that's a case of fiddling while Rome burns, because if we align all the internal goals and they're pointed northeast, and Rich has already said we need to go southwest or east or southeast, all the energy around goal alignment is not going to be helpful, which makes me realize, I'll say it, we'll say it again, that initial meeting with Rich that Dan has alluded to is a very important one. Number four, schedule calls with more customers to get a better understanding of their needs and concerns.
Yeah, Daryl, I like this. I wanted to let the customer see sense of urgency and commitment. And that soon, that becomes a two-way street. Like, let's go after those bills. But first, you know, here's what we're doing. Here's how we're improving things. Here's our commitment.
Would you agree, Dan, that the general theme of customers here was much more about seeing them as in an issue of we need to collect from you rather than what your theme is, which is I'm going to go out. I'm going to connect with customers. I'm going to tell them what we're going to do. I'm going to acknowledge that they have problems. I'm going to commit to them to fix it. I'm going to make available my cell phone. I'm going to have in-depth conversations with them if that's what they want, but they're going to know that everything relative to customers is my responsibility. And they're going to sense that I have every intention of fixing everything. Rather than my first calls being, hey, you owe us some money.
That's exactly right, Mark. I did the latter. My hypothesis was there's a reason why there's a bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, Daryl, well done. Thank you, sir. Next respondent is Nick Goodman. Nick says, designate an interim executive team, each of which reports directly to me weekly one-on-one. Have it meet twice weekly for 90 minutes. CEO, CFO, VP product, who is Victor, lead designer, CTO/VP of engineering for top engineer, quality, Tara the tester. By the way, hopefully some people recognize that we changed names and we used alliteration there to make some of that a little bit easier, Pam in products and so on. And my thought, first of all, on this is we agree, Nick, that one of your key priorities will be unsettling who your senior team will be. Again, we wouldn't call that designating them. Designating to me sounds like I'm going to make a decision pretty quickly and fix this variable. I'm going to make that variable a fixed variable and then work from that. I don't think you know enough yet to decide, and we don't think it's quite time yet. And I would argue, I think Dan agrees with me here, we wouldn't put the corporate CFO on this team. And to be clear, it may have been a function of the delivery. I'd have to go back and actually listen to what we said when we got the report from the CFO, that we weren't clear enough that there is no CFO in a less than 100 person company. The CFO is at core, that's an MFT CFO. We do generally like the idea of the most senior engineer being asked to be CTO, but We might call him the VP of technology, or maybe even something less than that, because if Webcom is a small division of MFT rather than a startup that happened to have been bought, they wouldn't have a CTO. And I think those kinds of things, you don't have to make a pronouncement saying, okay, you know, the old days, the good days are gone, and, you know, I killed them. You're going to gradually do things that happen over time. And that goes back to our comment about pronouncements. You don't have to make pronouncements. There are some things that ripping off the Band-Aid are good about. But in this case, you don't know enough to be ripping off too many Band-Aids. Dan?
Look, the one thing that I started to do from the beginning was, you know, I didn't announce it, but every day I was thinking, this needs to become a division of MFT, not an independent company, you know, and titles are one of the things that were in my mind, yeah.
Yeah, and independence, in this case, often not true, but in this case, independence hurt it. There was under strong oversight, if you will, and there was too many bad executive financial institution decisions that ended up creating rifts and problems process-wise, professional-wise, follow-up-wise, system-wise, delivery-wise, you know, bread and butter sort of stuff. It's great to have culture, and I'm a believer in cultures existing, but it's not all culture, and it's certainly not horseback riding. Next, Nick says, create a plan, smart goals with the executive team, reduce the run rate to 42 from $50 million, retain all customers, retain the top employees throughout the move. Just an aside before we get to the next one. We don't agree with smart goals at Manager Tools. If you don't know, folks, there's a cast for that called Smart Goals Are Dumb. Too much work, not ready to have a strategic. I think we don't need a strategic plan. We're not yet able at this point, guys, to think about going over the top out of the trench and attack. Full disclosure, I'm talking, but Dan suggested this analogy. We're in a trench war. We have enemies in the trench with us now. Not enemies of people, but, you know, the problem is really internal and can be fairly micro. This is not a strategic thing where we have to decide where to put the artillery on the enemy. And we are partially overrun, and we have to clear our trench. And when you're clearing a trench, you don't ask for a halt to create strategic objectives in the enemy's rear, because while you're doing that, people who are on your team around the map board are getting stabbed by the enemy in the trench, which are upset customers. So in the first week, our job is to clear the trench. And that means getting in the trenches, as I mentioned, and rolling up your sleeves. Next, hire a new EA. Dan?
Not yet. You know, debrief her, Elle, spend some time with her. Absolutely. She knows things, the alarm codes, the bills for the people who water the plants, the parking lot being painted, things like that. She has all the contracts, everybody's calendar. She knows all kinds of good stuff. Spent a, you know, a good deal of time with her, debriefing her. But hiring a new one, you know, I don't really know what I need yet. So I didn't prioritize that.
Good. Okay. Hold on all hands and go over the plan to turn around the company. Again, folks, we like the idea of an all hands, but we're not going to have a turnaround plan until we know more details yet. A turnaround plan needs to have some meat on the bones, and you don't know enough to put meat on the bones. Thus, Dan's idea of scheduling on Monday a Friday town hall. Not that in the town hall you're going to introduce your plan. It may be a few more weeks. That said, more communication is better. But again, the venue for those communications would be much more likely to be small, interactive, work-related, process-related, project-related, customer, technology, systems, people, finance-related meetings. Good. Thanks, Nick. Next up, Stuart Logan. Number one, focus on all invoices completed by COB the upcoming Wednesday, and finance develops a collection process. Build cash, because we're headed for a rough period.
Stuart, first I wanted to understand the reasons why the customers are not paying. I put that first. And, you know, I was kind of thinking some of this is self-inflicted. So understanding first is where I went with this.
Okay. Get a skeleton executive team that communicates up and running ASAP. Replacing Pam and Samir, urgently and building a working relationship with Tara immediately.
And Mark, just like you said earlier, right? So yes, wanted to get a provisional at least team up and running immediately. I personally like small topical meetings where I can learn important things, watch people interact, watch them do demonstrations, see how other people react, look for teamwork, clarity of message, things like that. Then also mix them in with one-on-ones, watch them closely. And then from there, kind of, I select a provisional leadership team, but that takes a little time.
Yeah. Number three, race to the bottom. In other words, race, don't chase. Race to the bottom, cut all potential waste, get an updated budget for the rest of the year in place.
I agree with this.
Yeah.
But I've been in a lot of firms where that was my job one at times. But announcing an austerity budget within days of a fundamental leadership attrition is pretty dangerous stuff, right? That's like, oh, yep, just what we thought. Parent company's coming in here. They're going to take away all our stuff. Cut. No more pencils.
And suddenly you lost a half an hour or an hour in the first couple of days for people polishing their resumes. I'd rather have them asking what I'm doing than announcing what I'm doing and making it negative. The people who are going to do a great deal of the work, if they get to know me or Dan or Nick or Stuart or Daryl, whomever, they're going to see us with our sleeves rolled up. Prioritize develop needs. Break down into small billable projects to drive sales.
I like the quick hits concept, but part of that for me was going back and stopping the bleeding on the upcoming release. And then, you know, the issues with the past releases that manifested itself ultimately in let's get some quick hits out here for these customers to gain credibility. But I didn't at the beginning sit down and say, let's do some quick billable things to bring in revenue.
Right. Bonus recommendation, meet with Al, get as much knowledge from her as possible. If not, even attempt to retain her.
You know, I did the meet and let's get as much information from you as possible. No attempt to retain. I think, you know, her mind was made up. A lot of it had to do with working locally, things like that. But, you know, contribute to, you know, hey, we're having a going away party for her. Yeah, you know what? I'll contribute to that in a big way. You know, may not go to it. Because people might not feel comfortable, but certainly treating Elle with the maximum amount of respect was front and center.
Well, and folks, Dan isn't saying it, but he included in the show notes, which you'll read it if you're a licensee, Lincoln's line, with malice toward none. It may feel good at the time, but it's short-term good, long-term very bad to be dismissive of people or to be saying, oh, you're not in, and so I don't want to talk to you or something like that. So somebody's leaving, they're making a choice. Okay, we can be respectful of that choice. Thanks, Stuart. Next is Keona Bell. Here's what she said. Things that stuck out. Sales projections are flat, weak pipeline, customer relationships not good, based on Simon and UK meeting, communication within teams and leadership not good or non-existent. Some people have shown drive, Samir's tech team, Victor. Plan, my goal would be get Webcom back to an even keel in order to truly decipher if the company is salvageable. I think that's possible. And then at a baseline, we'd be able to assess profitability.
I concur. I like a step back and approach process, Keona, in general. I'm kind of a high DC. So I spent that weekend mind maps, lists, that sort of thing. So I like the approach, stepping back a little bit.
Good. Need to begin one-on-ones with team and leaders immediately. Set expectations, work hours, customer interactions, service. Introduce MFT culture, share vision. Weekly horseback riding will be moved to once a month. Begin scouting out leadership for the tech team.
Of course, you know, one-on-ones with the two remaining directs. But I think, Keona, your last step, scouting leaders, because it's a process, is something you need to prioritize and put right up front.
Right.
Getting to know the team in real situations is a big deal. I think introducing MFT culture is a longer term thing. Doing it immediately after the resignations, again, almost like the austerity budget, is like, oh, here's your culture. I think that's something that you kind of... A lot of it has to do with how I behave, and it's something that I look to do over time.
Yeah, I would also add, guys, you know, there's a lot of, obviously, manager tools thinking in your responses. And I would suggest that the prohibition against skip level one-on-ones is removed at this time. And you're thinking about meeting, not the idea of a weekly one-on-one, but the idea of even having a meeting with a skip. I think your approach should be meet with as many people as possible, talk about as many issues as possible. Don't have five-hour meetings, but focus on operational, tactical, fundamental issues and have your communications with people give you all kinds of insights, okay? The next part, we kind of didn't understand. It says create and head off project team. We're not really sure what that is. Tackle delinquent affiliates and customers, touch base with customers on needs. So we're not sure what create and head off project team. Maybe it means you're going to head the project team.
As far as the sub bullets go, I would take the customer things in this order. Understand their issues, go after the issues to stabilize the relationship, get the accounts in balance in that order, again.
Yeah, show them that you're recognize your responsibility. And it would be a win in the first week to hear from a customer, you know, Dan, thank you. It's very helpful. And I'll make a deal with you. I'll cut you a check now. You guys have been good to us for a number of years. And I appreciate you doing that. Should have been done before, but as a show of good faith, I'll pay the bill because you tell me you're going to do it and I trust you. That'd be a huge win, right?
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Be sure to schedule transition meeting with L for transition and insight.
Yep. I would try to do that week one.
Tara Gomez, already encouraged you to work with HR. Circle back with HR after this meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Got to begin one-on-ones with Tara. Specifically, need to get buy-in and engagement from Tara. Why is she here? What's motivating her? She has insight. You know, maybe we may have to have difficult conversations, but hopefully she can see the benefit of staying.
Yeah, and Keona, I like this whole Tara section that you wrote here. And last week is behind us. Let's figure out how we operate going forward. I definitely had the conversation of, we're not going to agree on everything.
Yeah. And Keona goes on to say, we need to see performance improvement, right?
Yep.
My hope would be that with one-on-one's feedback, we can turn around a performance. And it may be actually her performance doesn't need turning around. We don't know that yet. She just had a really bad week.
Yeah. And in this example, you know, performance improvement is a general term. Things like,
yes,
hey, I want early agendas on the customer meetings. I really want to watch how we speak to our customers. Very careful, very respectful.
So, good. Yeah. Thanks, Keona. Next, Peter Samuel. Number one, staff retention. Without the current brain trust who know the product, we're going to have a big problem. We need to retain them. This will be a process rather than a statement. Outline plans, invite input, wash, rinse, repeat.
He's got it. It's a key step. Peter, I think you're right on the nose with it. It's a process. Establishing trust and credibility. Discover the informal leadership, you know, the people that other people kind of look to. That's a good way to start.
And to tie our guidance together, guys, you don't do that in a big meeting early in the week. You don't do that. You don't do that even at a staff meeting at the end of the week. The town hall at the end of the week. You benefit from the informal connections you've made. And you're going to have insights throughout. On Tuesday, you'll realize something said Monday is now providing you an ability to say, I'm questioning what you're telling me on this. And then on Thursday, you're going to say, oh, now I understand why this is a problem because everything that person told me earlier is not true because five people have told me it's not true and they have data.
Right. And in case it's not clear here, that first couple of weeks, very little time behind a desk.
Yeah. Good point. People aren't coming to you.
Yeah. Conference rooms, cubicles, you know, that sort of thing.
Revenue gaps. Work with customers to recover unpaid bills. Maybe able to use head office resources with more experience in difficult conversations. Repayment plans and or one-off discounts. Work with staff to ensure they book billable time. Their work output is proportional to company's ability to meet salary.
And for the first few weeks, I looked at the receivables issue and people not paying their bills. I considered them to be connected to service issues for
service
the first
quality.
Month or so. Yeah, that was my hypothesis.
Yeah. And then you may be able to say later, okay, now I'm seeing what the real thing is and I know what to do. And I didn't send everybody off on a 40% off true north game plan. Pipeline, Peter says, flat growth is not good. Work with development marketing teams determine which upcoming features are needed now. Nice to have features that will not drive sales get postponed. Set realistic timelines, release new products quickly and often rather than as one large bundle. Communicate this change in behavior to customers.
Yeah. And again, the answer we gave earlier about pipeline, I didn't specifically go after pipeline because of the tactical nature of my thinking at the time. Number one, get some help, right? Go find some salespeople at the parent company because Webcom was not doing a heck of a good job on this.
Yeah, the whole sales customer thing was split up in funny ways. There was a lack of clarity that suggested that underneath it, you know, when there are too many cooks, it can be ugly.
Yeah. And the other thing is the current issues in the upcoming release, scale, performance, and bugs, your pipeline is stone rock dead if you don't address those. So I was very tactical initially.
Yeah. Let's stem the bleeding, right? I can see that this guy, if you'll pardon the expression, folks, is going to lose his ear. Okay. But there's really deep red blood, arterial blood spurting out. Somebody put a thumb over that. I'm going to be pilloried, Dan. I shouldn't have used that word for using this analogy.
Yeah, this is getting gory.
Yeah. Okay, next, investigate the feasibility of a customer advisory board. 6 or so decision makers meet every 3 months, eventually every 6 to 12 months after stability has been reached. Simon might be a good choice from Australia.
Yeah. I wish I would have done this. I like this a lot, but after the tactical service issues are improved. Otherwise, it's a tiki torch event, right? They would just be chanting my name and wanting to kill me.
That's what Dan means by tiki torch event. Dan may be one of the folks that Manager Tools has a good relationship with, and Dan is quite good at coming up with pithy phrases, like the McGuire hump of the horseman curve, like steel cage deathmatch meeting. We admit it. Tiki torch. Now you know. And I would also say, when you're talking to customers in the first week or two, don't tell them you're going to set up a customer advisory board. It's a great idea, but you may not do it depending upon what you discover. So don't tell them you're going to do something and then end up not doing it. Thanks, Peter. By the way, we have 30 and we are on number 7. So that should give you some idea of how well we're doing here, guys. Martin Fisher, first 5 things. Start to fix leadership communication gap. Weekly leadership meetings, defined agenda, key metrics, progress, not optional.
Front burner, determining the leadership team, I think.
Yeah. And then after that, a staff meeting is
exactly
by definition. Start to fix customer relationship issues. Coordinated communication to all customers, focusing most effort on customers at immediate risk of leaving. Creating a relief valve by giving customers an email address goes to the CEO. Use this data to course correct. Customer relationship issues need to be a topic of weekly leadership meeting.
Right on target, Martin. I just think I think there's not enough you can do for customer service issues, especially at the beginning. And we even had a regular, just dedicated customer service meeting. We included MFT people in it as well.
And you could also do a thing where your staff meeting, the weekly staff meeting, starts with a half an hour. Let's say it's 90 minutes. It starts with a half an hour, 45 minutes about customer points, because that first item will generate deliverables that are most likely going to be followed. Get control of T&E budget by communicating about the state of the budget, priorities, canceling horseback riding, get sufficient controls, more senior level approval of T&E. T&E needs to be a topic of the weekly leadership meeting.
Obviously, this was a big thing that we had. And, you know, it's a good question here is, how do you do this in a way that doesn't result in the people of Webcom linking this directly with
the
parent company coming in?
Yeah.
That's something I had to work very carefully on.
Yeah, I would think that's a little bit of a burning platform. It may not be the biggest burning platform, but that's something you say, hey, guys, look, one thing we need to do is be clear about these things. And it doesn't have to happen overnight in terms of the culture implications, okay? Have the development staff create a roadmap suitable for customers. What is currently planned for the product, Fast Trader? That roadmap will drive development effort and so on. I assume you're going to say, yeah, but that has to happen after we name the team, right?
Exactly. But because you need help with this, right? And this is where finally Dean can delegate, right? He could say, all right, I want you guys to start putting this together for me notionally, and then we can go through it. But until he kind of has that team developed, it's hard to do.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean a 60-slide PowerPoint deck that you now dedicate your time on, because we still have fires burning. We've got enemies in the trench. So 90% of your time is going to be focused on solving problems, fixing bugs, making sure the next release is pristine. And oh, by the way, you also have forward-looking, future-looking stuff, which is we need to figure out what's next. Start the process of collecting $4 million in late invoices. Leverage improved relationships. Resell Fastrator vision and roadmap.
I like the way you say it. First service first, credibility, trust, and then go after it.
Yeah, good. Super. Thanks, Martin. Peter Van Imschoot. By the way, we did not edit this comment for bravery. My respects, Peter says, for figuring to, this is to Dan, in one of Mark's oft-talked about laws. He is referring, of course, to the Maguire hump of the Horseman Curve. I wonder what earned you that accolade.
It's a long story.
Actually, guys, I can tell you what earned the accolade. I didn't name it. Dan said to me after we released the Horseman Curve podcast, he says, why do I always feel like I'm on the hump? Meaning struggling through trying to get over the hump to the land of milk and honey on the other side.
Yeah.
So Dan self-acknowledged. He raised his hand.
In this case is all hump.
Yeah, that's so good. The hump case study. Okay, so here's my take on four things, Peter says. Weekly one-on-ones with all of his directs, weekly staff meeting. That has to be number one. Should get communication going and lower the tension, so on.
Yep, same answer, right? With whom? Obviously, Victor and Tara,
right,
one-on-ones, but you need to spend time understanding who the next leaders are. I mean, even if you said, I'm going to have one-on-ones with all of Samir's directs and Pam's directs initially, just for information gathering, you really need to narrow that over time.
Yeah, exactly. Number two, move Tara into the position of Samir, away from customers, close to technical stuff, should be in her strengths. Step into the role of the founder, just might be the ego boost that gets her to stay. Pam can then take on top of her other duties, Tara's responsibilities, and get overdue invoices paid. Full disclosure, guys, Dan has re-listened to the podcast. We did say that Pam had resigned, but a couple of your comments suggested that it wasn't 100% clear. We apologize for that. So Pam can't take on other duties because Pam left. Even though you liked the meeting with her and you'd liked her to stay, she resigned. Okay, go ahead.
Moving Tara to Samir's role, you know, my first response was, whoa. I know where you're going, kind of Tara away from the customers, more at the technical team and that sort of thing. But Tara's had conflicts, and we talked about that in the case across the board. She has very strong opinions about other people in the other groups. She demonstrably lost it at a few meetings, things like that. I wouldn't take this step. I would want to see more of Tara in her role where she's comfortable, and see if we can see some behavior change and things like that. It wouldn't take this step at this time. Okay.
Radical instruction goes out to stop all maintenance work and start development on overdue features to finish in record time. A full day of horseback fun and games once that goal is reached, but until then, nothing to distract from the goal.
I definitely couldn't do this. First need to understand what the tickets or work orders that the people are working on now in maintenance. There could be some very critical things linked to commitments in our already fragile customer relationships. So I need more information.
Yeah. Dean and Victor go on a big roadshow around the world to present the exciting new features. Australia, Singapore, London, so on. In theory, it's wonderful, but in practice, the T&E budget probably kills this one, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they could do it low cost, canoes, backpacking, hostels, and hitchhiking. I think we really need to get our accounts payable rehabilitated in a good pipeline before I approach this.
Yeah. Good. Hey, Peter, thanks. That was good. Next, Eden Brandeis. Number one, schedule an ACM, which we took to mean all hands meeting, by the way, Eden, for Thursday. Attendance mandatory. Review company performance, sales projections, expenses, ask for commitment, key priorities, so on. So similar to our ideas, right? To what you did.
Yes. And, you know, the key things, again, understanding more about the informal leadership network. So I had people to look at in that meeting that I already had conversations with. I had a little bit more time under my belt with customers to have the issues synthesized. Had already had a meeting with Rich, few conversations, and a conversation with the CFO before that. And there was a little bit more time for people to be part of the communication at the meeting. You know, like it was more interactive, I think, because I wasn't surprising them on Monday.
Yeah, that's great. If you have a meeting Monday or Tuesday, they're assuming you're going to tell them stuff. By Friday, you've already socialized some things and listened and so on, and they may be willing to be more interactive. Schedule time with head of building to discuss challenges, brainstorm strategies, set clear expectations.
Well, WebCom kind of didn't have a head of billing.
Yeah.
But again, same as before, right? I went service first, commitment first.
Trust and credibility. Yeah. Right. We're going to reach out. We're going to apologize. We're going to say we're going to fix it. And when we earn their money and their trust back, they'll pay us. Schedule ongoing O3s with remaining leadership, weekly leadership team meetings. Schedule O3s with Pam and Sarir's direct. If not you, then who?
A little bit more complicated than if not you, then who? So what I did was, again, small team meetings and observing. Observing, you know, working sessions, just showing up at, you know, stand-ups and things like that.
Right. Meet individually Tara, and then together with her whole team, reset customer service expectations around respect and assuming positive intent.
I like meeting with Tara and setting expectations. I would like to actually see her cascade that to her team day to day, you know, see how she does that with delegation and the message, the new message on how we want to treat our customers.
Right.
You know, so that's the way I would approach it.
Thanks, Eden. Next, Peggy Miller. Number one, assemble a team. Can't do it yourself. Need to assemble a team. Address critical vacancies.
I think you're right, Peggy. He needs to start digging to understand who is ready to step up and join Victor and Tara.
Yeah, exactly. With the idea that because you need to assemble a team, we're not thinking that you're saying, I'm going to name a team. There's a difference, and it'll take a few days to figure that out. Talk to HR. Tara's complaint, inconsistency of billing. Find out state of HR, so on, who manages, and so on. Now, I assume this may be partially affected by HR being at corporate and there being none at WebCom.
Yeah, there's a couple of things in here. Look, it's Dean's responsibility, really, to do the day-to-day management of the staff. HR is there, but they're likely not involved with the day-to-day management of employees, especially at a subsidiary. There's a lot of distance there.
Next, get finances under control. Budget excesses, lopsided costs, uncollected billing, tackle quickly, collect what's owed, not a tech support function. No wonder there are relationship issues with customers, and no more horseback riding, sorry.
Amen to horseback riding.
Yeah.
I think that absolutely has to go.
Right.
The finances, look, they're a mess. We are going to, again, start with customer issues, credibility, trust, and work our way through.
Yeah. In fact, when you say start with customer issues, I want there to be, if there were somebody in the meeting in the first thing I did Monday, the first person, maybe let's say it's Al, my admin, say, I need a list of the top five customers and I need phone numbers, cell phone numbers, as fast as you can get them to me. And I'm going to be making those calls immediately. And if you wanted to share that with everybody in the organization, Al, feel free to do so. Let's see. Talk to customers. Now Dean has one open line, needs similar insight. That's a Simon, I'm assuming she's referring to. Talk with key customers and maybe not all of them, maybe all of them. Why are sales projections down? If we know what traders want, why are sales projections down?
Right. And again, I went after all customers. I contacted all of them, understood them, reassured them. But I also like what you said about sales pipeline and not digging deep into it. But up front, what's our price point here? Things like that. That was some of the stuff that I talked to the CFO about early.
Okay, good. Analyze support issues. I'd be uncomfortable. Tara's covering things up. Open conflict with customers makes me nervous. Customer was told that Tara was the only one he could talk to. That scares the daylights out of me, and he can't get her on the phone. Analyze issues. And that's generally to your point. Dig in directly with customers. Understand issues at a pretty detailed level. If you're going to rewin their trust, and they're not going to pay you because they're going to go elsewhere if you don't rewin their trust, you need to get dirty and understand the details and then make promises and then deliver. Thanks, Peggy. Next, Jeff Bragg. Have the leadership team do a SWOT analysis together to try to build communication and vision.
Dean needs to first reconstitute the leadership team, I think, before this is going to be fruitful. Now, that said, look, I started a SWOT in the back of my notebook and updated it as I went along, kind of privately.
Yeah.
You know, once a week. So.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to make that a marker. Oh, we're doing a SWOT analysis. Now people are starting to think about SWOT analysis. You can be doing it in your head, and then you're digging for more information. Good. Get rid of Tara.
No. she had a really brutal week with her boss leaving and three peers quitting. Look, she was a mass shield. The customers blew up at the new boss. Still, I can't tell if that's systematic behavior or just a pressure meltdown, right? Need to clear some things up. Get on a regular basis. Start having a business as usual week with some regular feedback and things like that. But I didn't get personally offended by it.
I would go further. If you're thinking, no, Dan, I got personally offended by this, it's you know, she's got to go, I would say, no, I'm your chief legal officer. I'm Craig Glidden, and I'm telling you, no, don't do it. Okay? She has complained to HR about an HR issue, about a bias issue. This could be perceived as retaliation. Of course, it's not retaliation, but we don't want to spend the time and money defending you when you should be. You know, it's hard to remember you're there to drain the swamp when you're up to your tail in alligators. You don't need another alligator on this one. Send Victor and someone from the technical team to meet with current clients, prioritize accounts and those who are current on payments.
I need Victor in the office to help me with my analysis. And look, my T&E budget is toast. So until we fix the financials, I'm not sending anybody on a roadshow.
Good. And then Dean travels and meets with clients who owe money to collect, to get cash, defer to further technical work for clients who owe money until this is resolved. You know, there appears to be some question about disputed and so on.
Yeah, Jeff, I like understanding the clients and addressing their concerns as a first step. Again, same comment about travel.
Yeah, not going to travel. Let's dig in. Let's find out what it is. And when we have conversations, we'll know what we can promise and when we get into details with them.
Yeah. Also, you know, what kind of signal am I sending, you know, to the team? Like, oh, we have all these cost pressures. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go fly to Europe and take care of things. Yeah.
And by the way, as CEO, I suspect my title will change. I'll be going first class. Ooh, that email will get sent around. Okay. And then going further, Jeff suggested some more. Need to gather more information about almost everything before I can make a decision. That's something Jeff says he's prone to do. The case study nature of things made it hard for me to decide. Jeff, too bad. That's how case studies work. You have to make decisions with less information. I love you, man. And I'm telling you, you will not feel you have all the information after 3 months, but you have to make decisions in the first 10 days. Small decisions that give slight adjustments to whatever true north might be. And you might start out at northeast before you end up gradually, slowly changing your position to north. If you're not careful, guys, in disc language, you high seas, you will say, I'm not going to do anything until I know it's absolutely right. And then you'll be paralyzed in doing nothing. The question is not rightness. The question is not perfection. The question is execution. And that's one of the beauties of case studies. That's why we're not saying, here's what you must do. There is no approved solution to this. Okay. We're going to share with you what Dan did, and you'll hear how it turned out, parts of it and so on. But by no means is that the approved solution. It's one of many solutions. That said, full disclosure in this case, Jeff, you and Dan are similar in that way, and he doesn't want to make pronouncements. He wants to dig in. And digging in the first week will give you a lot of data to help you have that town hall, and you'll be digging in the next week and the next week, and more you'll begin to be making decisions that have systematic effects. You go on to say, you say, I think there would have been a lot more detail if you'd been in person. Well, of course, Tara's a bad apple, but she had behaviors that don't suit her position. Assess the personnel who are left. Probably try to recruit good people from MFT if that's something that's allowed. And you like that idea, right, Dan?
I like that a lot. You were the first one, Jeff, to mention that. It's a great way to get some immediate assessment help. You know some people that are fairly objective and competent, things like that you've worked with before. I definitely did. Mark, I want to go back and address one thing you said about, you know, just having a basic case study description and trying to make decisions based on just learning that. I definitely had more detail, but that's not necessarily better. I had conversations with the person, Alex, okay, in this case, who was the former CEO, who called me and absolutely told me who the best people were. And then I had opposite conversations with his directs and things like that. I had more information, some of it diametrically opposed.
Yeah. Jeff, good ideas. I like it. Next, Shannon, Corin. And Shannon was the one that said, hey, is Dean Morgan Dan McGuire? So, number one, leadership team meeting. No one's talking to each other. Communication is broken. In this first mandatory meeting, I recommend the agenda, rollout O3s, who has resigned, who has said they will stay, communication plan, weekly leadership meetings, contentious or hostile behavior won't be tolerated, state of the budget, input on increasing revenue, decreasing costs, employees billing time, collection of $4 million in arrears, have one of Samir's team members attend the meeting.
Again, right, the initial meeting, I wanted to learn more about who the people are first before I had this meeting. I definitely wouldn't have, it looks like a lot of, here it looks a lot like a lot of pronouncements. First of all, mandatory, this is the way it's going to be, I'm the new sheriff kind of stuff. Didn't want to go that direction with his team. Wanted to learn about them, what's important to them. Definitely weave into the message, here's how I value customers, here's how I think we should treat them and things like that. But not necessarily say those words, just demonstrate that that's the way I feel.
Good. Develop and implement transition plans for Elle and Pam. Talk to Victor about heading up products and services, as well as visual design. Webcom should see some savings by not replacing Tam, which will allow Victor to travel to meet with clients.
I don't know. I would want to debrief Pam and Elle. Clearly a lot of time with Pam, an ample amount of time with Elle. And based on that, I would create plans for transfer of responsibilities. I need more inputs than just what they tell me.
Right. Coach Tara, there was no meeting with Tara mentioned in the case study, just observations, interactions, a lot of red flags, unprofessional, unreliable, bad customer service behavior. Her team cannot answer reasonable questions, putting her on a coaching plan to improve her. If that doesn't work, she needs to go, tearing the team apart. She's already brought up a potential discrimination. What do you think?
I see where you're going with this. I definitely had started one-on-ones right away, but I really went into business as usual, gave her a pass for the previous week. I would personally would not start coaching.
Right. Totally agree.
Maybe just regular one-on-ones, feedback based on day-to-day things that are happening, that sort of thing. But a coaching plan, that's kind of a heavy duty thing. And again, I wanted to give a pass for that first few days.
Okay. Number four, repair customer relationships. Dean calls all the customers to get their input on products. Are we providing what they need? Are we billing on time? Are they paying on time? Questions like that.
Yeah, Shannon, you nailed this, right? It's the right order, right? Get the input first, address the service issues, handle the payments. Love
it. Yeah, that was a killer answer. And I will add that we're in interest of not brevity, Shannon shared, she'd listened to the podcast at least 5 times by now, morning and evening commutes. Most I've ever done on a podcast. It was fun. My head was spinning. Thank you for doing this. So well done.
Yeah, you can tell. A lot of time we put into this is nice.
Okay. Next, Chris Ferreo. Here's my action plan. Contact Rick Rogers. You'll need some time to outline an action plan. Advise Rich of the financial situation. Okay?
Yep. Get the air cover, baby. Yeah. I love it.
Exactly. Air cover. I say that all the time. I hope everybody understands, right? If you're on the ground, you want planes above you. Otherwise, the enemy's planes are coming in, meaning texts and emails and phone calls from senior people and other customers saying, don't call me. Somebody just sent me a bill. Don't send me another bill. Your stuff doesn't work. Okay. Gather the senior team. Review financial outlook as a group. Emphasize that with leadership team, regular one-on-one meetings, a leadership team, sorry. An agenda 24 hours prior, looking to work with senior leadership to outline a recovery plan. Also, financial expenses, horseback riding, staff travel, and new hires are frozen. Requests have to be signed off by the CEO. Emphasize completion, reporting back of assigned tasks.
Right. So I like this agenda a lot. I think this is an agenda that I have to execute during the week. But again, go back, identifying who the informal leaders are, who's going to have the most influence on the team, and getting more input from the customers while having the initial assurance calls, things like that. Taking it in the order of determine who the leadership team is probably going to be, get the credibility with the customers, and then walk through in that order. But this is a great laundry list, though.
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. During that first week, your job is not to determine the senior leadership team at the end of the week. It may not happen till the middle of the next week. Your job is to get down in the weeds, find out where the problems are, what the customer issues are, what the technical issues are, what the plan is, what they're doing, and so on. Get a state of the business in a bunch of small meetings, perhaps some 10-person meetings. And that is the process. You, with your sleeves rolled up on the operational nature of the business, allows you to draw all kinds of conclusions. Dan is not suggesting he went around having one-on-ones with his eye constantly going, are they in my team or not? Are they first level or second level? That is an outcome, and that outcome has to precede some of the things you guys are thinking about doing, which Dan is agreeing with, okay? Gather a list of key clients and customers, sort in revenue and late payments, include contact info, outline a meeting plan to connect with them, request payment ASAP when you can.
I like this approach. The exception of the last one, again, I wouldn't request payment ASAP until I handled kind of the credibility trust stuff.
Yeah. So guys, what that means is when the customer goes, yeah, I thought you were calling me to ask for payment. And if that was me, Dean/Dan would say, no, I'm not going to ask you for payment until we've done our part. And my eyebrows would go up and I'd say, well, you know what? You got my number. You need me, you call me. And now we have the beginnings of trust, whereas before we didn't. Next, full staff meeting, advising you'll be present for most, if not all, conference calls, as well as professional expectations, no yelling, and so on. Agenda 72 hours in advance is circulated as an expectation. Where clients are behind, that should be the standing first agenda item. I would assume you would like that, except for that last part, right?
Except that last part. The other thing is 72 hours is a long time. When you're dealing
the
with
a pretty
dynamic, yeah.
Number five, have senior team members have regular one-on-ones with their directs, report back on how many are completed by quarter. Also advise senior team will be having next one-on-ones. Yeah, and we've already covered the senior team getting set first. I will say this, guys. The guidance we have about putting in place one-on-ones, and if you're a leader in the organization, rolling it down in the organization and measuring it, those things are important, but they are not one of the many burning platforms. That's putting in place one of the foundational building blocks of the organization. But again, right now your sleeves are rolled up and you're getting a lot of whiteboard briefings. And I say whiteboard rather than PowerPoint because you don't want people spending 6 hours preparing their presentation to you. You're going to try to define the nature, the purpose of each meeting in a fairly small way so it doesn't become, please describe everything you do and the history of these problems over the last 20 years for the last 20 customers. You can't do that. You got to say, okay, I've got an issue here. I want to have a meeting in an hour and a half with these three people who are going to tell me what happened with this customer because I have to call that customer back by the end of the week. Okay, I want a 90-minute or a two-hour meeting with the tech team going over the present release. Where is it? What its status is? How much is it going to cost to fix it? When? How much it'll be delayed? What communications do we need to do in terms of that? And so on. And yes, you're definitely going to do one-on-ones. Yes, you're definitely going to measure them. But if that didn't come up in the first 3 weeks in terms of measuring, not the end of the world. Thanks, Chris. Next, Andy Graves. Andy says, I've never done this. And he mentioned he felt vulnerable. Good, Andy. Well done. That's how growth happens. Case summary. Turbulence, people leaving, culture needs to shift, especially as the move into the headquarters office. Leaves us in a bind with the number of people leaving. We don't know productivity metrics. If they're working 60 hours a week, they're certainly not productive 60 hours a week. Sales projections are flat. We're over budget. Customer interaction is negative. All right, good general summary, Dan.
Yeah, good summary, and summarizing is a great idea.
Yeah.
The other thing is, heck, I was way out over my skis when I took this on, right? I mean, you were talking about feeling vulnerable. First time for me, kind of any kind of situation like this, of this complexity. You know, you write it all up. It looks like a nice, neat package. A lot of times you see this with case studies. Rest assured that behind that is somebody who's not feeling real comfortable. And I certainly did not feel comfortable with this situation, you know, for a very long time. It was definitely kind of a take the best shot as I go.
Results, retention, relationships, and communications. Words in the manager tools wheelhouse. With an audience that slants almost 70% technical, smart, and process-oriented, we teach managerial behaviors that are critical to achieving results, retaining the right people. It's all about relationships and communications. And we realize for a good majority of our listeners that that may not come naturally. It's not hard, it just is, and the data prove it. Learn from our pre-podcast or our printed material with Roadmap Access and a public training conference or on-site client training. We have a solution for you, your team, or your organization.
Okay, folks, that's it. I hope you enjoyed part one. We'll be back next week covering the rest of the responses and including Dan's actual actions on the spot. See you then.